Our Old Testament reading for today is from Leviticus 20, verses 7 to 24. Leviticus 20, verses 7 to 24. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. Because they have cursed their father or mother, their blood will be on their own head. If a man commits adultery with another man's wife, with the wife of his neighbor, both the adulterer and the adulteress are to be put to death. If a man has sexual relations with his father's wife, he has dishonored his father. Both the man and the woman are to be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. If a man has sexual relations with his daughter-in-law, both of them are to be put to death. What they have done is a perversion. Their blood will be on their own heads. If a man has sexual relations with a man, as one does with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. They are to be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. If a man marries both a woman and her mother, it is wicked. Both he and they must be burned in the fire, so that no wickedness will be among you. If a man has sexual relations with an animal, he is to be put to death, and you must kill the animal. If a woman approaches an animal to have sexual relations with it, kill both the woman and the animal. They are to be put to death. Their blood will be on their own heads. If a man marries his sister, the daughter of either his father or his mother, and they have sexual relations, it is a disgrace. They are to be publicly removed from their people. He has dishonored his sister and will be held responsible. If a man has sexual relations with a woman during her monthly period, he has exposed the source of her flow, and she has also uncovered it. Both of them are to be cut off from their people. Do not have sexual relations with the sister of either your mother or your father, for that would dishonor a close relative. Both of you would be held responsible. If a man has sexual relations with his aunt, he has dishonored his uncle. They will be held responsible. They will die childless. If a man marries his brother's wife, it is an act of impurity. He has dishonored his brother. They will be childless. Keep all my decrees and laws and follow them, so that the land where I am bringing you to live may not vomit you out. You must not live according to the customs of the nations I'm going to drive out before you. Because they did all these things, I abhorred them. But I said to you, you will possess their land. I will give it to you as an inheritance, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has set you apart from the nations.
New Testament reading is from Colossians 3, 1 to 14. Colossians 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And of all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity.
Well, it's great to be here today. I always get suspicious when I'm asked back or somewhere to speak. I'm always wondering whether I've been asked back to apologise for the time before, but I think the first passage would have been more interesting to preach on, but we are going to preach on Colossians. This is a great pulpit. I've got a look how big my Bible is. Two years ago, I was reading a fine print Bible, and then my eyes started to deteriorate. That's what happens when you get to about 42, and so I went to a normal size print Bible that lasted for a little while, and then I went to a large print Bible, and just recently I couldn't read that anymore from the pulpit, so I went to Koorong and looked at the giant print Bible, but that was too small. So this is a super giant print Bible. If you didn't know they made them, there you go. You can look forward to that. Has anyone seen this show? Have you seen this show on TV? Extreme Makeover. It's a show where participants are given an opportunity to change the way they look by having a movie star makeover in Hollywood. All right? So on the show, you see the participants before their makeover. You then see the participants during their makeover, and then you see them after their makeover, where they have the big reveal to their friends and family. Right now, what do you think about this guy? So that's before, that's after. Which one do you prefer? Yeah, that's right. You guys are so superficial. Thank you. Now, this guy is unrecognizable, right? Unrecognizable. You've got to admit, that is an extreme makeover. And there's some good ones around, isn't it? That's before, after. Unrecognizable. Before, after. unrecognizable. Very good surgeons. Very good surgeon. Before, after. Before, after. That's for the teens. Before, after. That's an extreme makeover. Before, after. Now you've got to admit, they are extreme makeovers, aren't they? They're unrecognizable. Now, as Christians, you and I, we have had a makeover that is far more extreme than any of the ones we've seen on the screen, right? God has given us an extreme spiritual makeover from at the deepest levels of our being, so much so that he can call us a new creation. We are new creations. Have you experienced that spiritual makeover in your life? And if you have, could someone say of you, you know, your new life, it's unrecognizable compared to your old life? Could someone say that of you? Would you like someone to say that of you? Well, how's that possible? Well, we're going to have a look in our passage this morning. It's going to tell us how. Well, I am going to pray again and commit this time to the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are our Father. We love you. And Father, we just do pray this afternoon that you would show us what it means that we are a new creation, that the old is gone and the new is here. And Lord, please help us to see what that means and how that should affect the way that we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to start in verse 12. I'm going to start in verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved." Now, before in the scriptures, before God tells his people how to behave, he always tells them what he's done for them and who they are, doesn't he? In the Old Testament, Exodus 20, he says, "I am the Lord your God who rescued you out of Egypt. Have no other gods before me." He always tells us who we are and what he's done for us before he tells us how to respond. He always gives us the indicative before he gives us the imperative, right? Now, what is our identity? It is that we are holy. Now, if you've read your Old Testament, and I assume you have, that is just a staggering identity, that you can be called holy. In the Old Testament, you know, there's clean, there's unclean, and there's holy. Now, for God to call a guy like me holy, that is just staggering, and that is our identity. We are holy. Holy means that we are washed clean by God, set apart, so that we can offer him acceptable worship. Right? That's what holy means. We're set apart so we can offer him acceptable worship. Now, it's staggering that we would be called holy. I think that's why the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church kind of reserve that term for just a few special people, because I think it staggers them that everyone's a saint. So they just keep that term for a few special people, perhaps lecturers in a theological college, or certainly not the students. But I think that's why they do that. And this passage says we are holy. We're not becoming holy, that we are holy. So we're not being sanctified. We are sanctified. It's a definitive thing. We are sanctified. I think the process of us becoming more and more like Christ through our life, Christian life, I think that's better termed transformation. I think in terms of sanctification, we are sanctified. It has happened. It is a one-off event. We've been sanctified. And you want to read through 1 Corinthians and Hebrews, it'll pick up on that a little bit more. Now, I want you to imagine your house. Imagine in your house you have a study. Actually, we'll put the study over here. The study here. And then across the corridor, you have a guest room. All right? Now, your study is like any typical academic study. It is, you know, the desk is just covered with papers and books, and there are just coffee cups, and there are Red Bull cans, and there are, you know, banana peels, and the bin is just overflowing with McDonald's wrappers and more Red Bull cans, and on the floor, you know, there's just papers and books, and that's your study. Now, but across the corridor is your guest room. Now, your guest room is just spotless. It's pristine. The carpet is white, the sheets are white, the pillows are fluffy, there's some flowers next to the bed. It's very minimalist, but it's just spotless. Now imagine one day you've just finished off your breakfast, McDonald's from the night before, and you're late for college, and you're running out of the house, and where are you going to chuck this rubbish, right? Because all the bins are overflowing. You're running down, are you going to chuck that rubbish into the dirty study, or are you going to chuck that rubbish into the spotless guest room? Who's going to throw it into the dirty study? Yeah, anyone going to throw it into the spotless guest room? No, why? Because one more piece of rubbish is going to make no difference, is it, in the study? It's just going to, just won't make any difference, just one more to the pile. But it'll make a big difference to the spotless guest room. It just doesn't fit there, does it? There's no room for it there. Now, I want you to consider, how do you view yourselves spiritually? Do you view yourselves as a dirty guest room? Or do you view yourselves as a spotless study? What is your identity? How do you view yourself? Because you can imagine that there's a sinful temptation that's coming down the corridor of your mind. Now, what are you going to do with that sinful temptation? If you view yourself as a dirty study, well, you'll think, well, what's one more sin? Just add it to the pile. You know, I'm a sinner. Just add it to the pile. But if you consider yourself to be the spotless guest room, then you'll think, well, you know what? I'm not going to give in to this temptation. This just doesn't fit with who I am. Right? I'm spotless. I'm sanctified. I'm holy. I'm washed clean. I'm not going to give in to this temptation. Your identity is either your prison or it's your passport. Right? I've just found the whole idea of understanding who I am in Christ being such a powerful factor for overcoming sin in my own life. Now, there's always a reason why we do what we do, isn't there? Our actions don't just spring out of nowhere. We do what we do because of what we believe, and especially what we believe about ourselves. We are holy. We are sanctified. So Paul is saying, live out who you already are. Live out who you already are. Turn to the person next to you and say, live out who you already are. Now, when you were a kid and one of your parents asked you to do something, sometimes you say, why? Why do you want me to do that? Now, a good parent doesn't say, look, don't ask me why. Just do what I said. That's what I said, so just do it, right? A good parent doesn't say that. A good parent says, okay, buddy, that's a good question. Let me tell you why. And that's what God does. God digs down deeper than our behaviours. He digs down deep to our belief system, right? Because it's our belief system which is faulty. And a faulty belief system is going to result in faulty actions. God says, look, I want you to know your new identity. I want you to live out who you already are. So therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You can tell a lot about a person by the way they dress, can't you? I can tell straight away who the faculty are and who the students are, for example. I did forget my shirt. I had my shirt all lined up in my room, and I forgot to bring it. So anyway, you can tell a lot. You can tell a lot about a person by what they dress, how they dress, right? So out of these two people, I'm going to put two pictures up on the screen. Which one do you think works at the children's hospital? Right? You can tell a lot by the way that people dress, because the way he dresses reflects his identity, doesn't it? Reflects who he is. Which of the following two do you think works at Trinity Theological College? perhaps the next person works there. You know, immediately they don't, because why? What they wear matches their identity. He was hoping to come to Don Carter for a Reformation lecture, but he didn't get here. He didn't get here. Now, so what is someone at Trinity? You know, one more guy. You reckon this guy works at Trinity Theological College? He may well do. So what you wear matches your identity. If someone goes off to work, you've got a pretty good idea of what they do for the day. Now, just as we wake up in the morning and we decide what to put on and what to wear, Paul's saying, well, decide what to put on spiritually, right? Clothe yourselves with your identity. Your identity is that you are holy. So when you get up tomorrow morning, faculties, tomorrow afternoon students, when you get up tomorrow afternoon students and decide what to put on spiritually, you are holy. Live out who you already are. Have a look with me in verse 9. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self. Here he's talking about our identities. He's saying, live out who you already are. And he contrasts the old self with the new self. And another way that he speaks about the old self elsewhere is that he speaks about putting on Christ, doesn't he? It's kind of like in parallel. He can say, put on the new self. Sorry, he says, put on the new self. But in the same way, he can say, put on Christ. Putting on the new self is the same as putting on Christ, and putting off the old self is the same as putting off Adam. Because Paul's saying that there are two realms. You know, this kind of realm theology. It's very basic to his, fundamental to his understanding of the Christian life. And you'll get it from Romans chapter 5 to 8, and you'll get it in Colossians as well. But he says there are two realms. And the old realm is the realm of Adam, right? You're born into the old realm. Just by your default position is that you're born into the old realm. All right? The old realm in Adam. And that's our old fallen self. We are slaves to sin. We are ruled by the law. We are dominated by the flesh. We are condemned to eternal death. That is our old self. That's like our before photo. All right? That's like our before photo. But then Jesus comes along and dies for us. Amen. He rises again and he transfers us into the new realm. He transfers us. And this new realm, we're given a completely new identity. We're now in Christ. We are a new creation. We are now slaves to righteousness. We are now ruled by grace. We are now empowered by the Spirit. And we're now destined for eternal life. Right? That is our after photo. And they're unrecognizable, aren't they? They're just unrecognizable. He's saying, look, since you are a new creation, act like it. Since you've been transferred to a new realm, act like it. Right? You're no longer in the old realm, you're now in the new realm. And it's not the Holy Spirit who's commanded to put off the old self. It's us, isn't it, who's commanded? We are commanded. The Holy Spirit's going to help us. But we are the ones who are commanded to put off the old self, to put on the new. Now, the old realm, as you know, you've done your good theology here, now but not yet. The old realm is not yet completely destroyed. And so it still exerts influence over us, doesn't it? You don't automatically lose your old way of thinking and your old way of behaving the moment you become a Christian. You've got to continue. Put off the old. Put on the new. Put off the old. Put on the new. So this side of heaven, we're never going to be able to say, I've made it, I'm perfect, I've got that sin thing under control. Because, you know, this side of heaven, this transformation process keeps on going. But we should never be in the position where we have to say, you know what, I just can't get over this sin. I just can't get over it. You know, I've had this bad anger issue for 25 years and I just can't get rid of it, and it's just, people are just going to have to get used to that because that's who I am. I'm going to have it till the day I die. No, because that would be to say I'm still a slave to sin. But that's not the reality. The reality is we're no longer slaves to sin. We are in the new realm. So verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You know, renewing is like renovating. Anyone renovated a house here? Yeah? What was it like? Was it fun? No? Wasn't fun. No, it's not fun. Because what's the first thing you've got to do when you renovate? You've got to take out all the old stuff and then put on all the new stuff in, right? You don't just put all the new stuff while the old stuff's already there. You take the old stuff out first. And so we need to dig out all the garbage and the lies and the wrong thinking and the wrong behavior that we have kind of accumulated and inherited. And we need to replace it with new thinking and new behaviors. Now, renovating, if you've ever renovated a house, you know what it's like. It's messy. It's messy. Halfway through, you're just like, oh my goodness, why did I do this? I can't use the kitchen. In the middle of the night, I've got to go for a pee out in the back garden, you know. I can't. The shower doesn't work. My hair. I can't get my hair right for the day. You know, it's really horrible, isn't it? And a reno takes longer than you think. Were they right on time with your reno? No. No, shaking your head. No, a reno, then the builder comes and he says, oh yeah, I reckon I can do that in about 6 weeks. You know, 3 months later, hardly started, six months. Now, But when renovations are done well, they can be spectacular, can't they? They can be spectacular. And when you put off the old self and you put on the new self, day by day, that messy business of putting off the old self, that time-consuming business of putting off the old self, putting on the new self, when you do that, the results can be spectacular. And people will come up to you and say, "Hey, I remember you. You're hardly recognizable compared to your old self. You know, you're hardly recognizable. You know, you get on so much better with your spouse. You seem so at peace." They're seeing a before and after photo of you, all because of this messy, time-consuming process of putting off the old self and putting on the new. I want to finish with verses 1 to 2. "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." Now, have you ever known people who accepted Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, but then they still behave the same way as they did before? Years have gone by, nothing's really changed. Why do Christians do drugs, lie, cheat on their spouses? Notice I said Christians, not unbelievers. Why do they do that? It's because their minds have not been renewed. There's a whole lot of different reasons why they do that. But one of the reasons is their minds have not been renewed. They haven't been transformed. And why is it that people can study the Word of God and get perfect scores in every theological exam, and yet that knowledge never actually changes them? It's because their minds have not been renewed. Christian progress is not possible. Christian progress will not happen unless your mind is renewed. Unless your mind is transformed, right? Years will go by and nothing will change. 5 years will go by, 10 years will go by, and the same experiences will just perpetuate themselves again and again, over and over again, if your mind is not renewed. Now, your mindset is made up of your past experiences, your beliefs, your feelings, which kind of become set and established in your mind, right? The mindset. And it becomes the lens through which you see the world and the lens through which you decide how to act. And ultimately, how you act is going to determine what your outcomes are in life, right? Mindset, actions, outcome. Mindset, actions, outcome. Your mind is the key to your life, to your actions and your outcome. If you change your mindset, you can change your actions, you can change your life. Now, most people think that the biggest problem with the human mind is that it doesn't have access to all the knowledge that it needs, you know? So education is the answer. If we just had more education, we wouldn't have the problem with drugs, wouldn't have the problem with terrorism, wouldn't have the problem with teenage pregnancies. Now, of course, education is important. But the Bible says that the problem with the mind is not just that it is finite and needs more information. The problem with the mind is that it is fallen and it needs transformation. It's fallen and it needs transformation. Now, I didn't just wake up one day when I was younger, I didn't just wake up one day and said, "You know what, I just figured out in the shower that, you know, I'm going to stop having sex with my girlfriend. I've just decided that." That's just... No, my mind had to be renewed. My mind had to be renewed. I began to see things the way that God sees things. God's design in the scriptures just began to make perfect sense for me. And I said, and I'm like, "Okay, I'm going to wait for my wife. I'm going to wait for..." And it wasn't easy. Right? 4 years later, on my wedding day, I'm like, "Pastor, look at the time. Come on, I've got things to do. Let's get out of here." But it's time consuming. And it requires a fallen mind to be renewed. Now, given that our mind is where spiritual transformation occurs, you think it's any surprise that that's where the evil one wants to mess with us? Your mind is the enemy's preferred battleground, and it is, and your thinking is his preferred weapon of choice, right? And so he's going to put lies, he's going to put half-truths in your mind, trying to get you to believe what he wants you to believe. So we need to set our minds on things above. We need to set our minds on things above. You know, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer ruled by the law. I'm no longer dominated by the flesh. My destiny is no longer eternal condemnation. But I am in Christ. I'm a new creation. I'm ruled by grace. I'm a slave to righteousness. I'm empowered by the Spirit. I'm destined for eternal life. All right? Knowing your identity. So tomorrow morning, or afternoon, when the students get up, tomorrow afternoon when you get up, you're going to decide what to wear. Also, decide what to put on. Decide what to put off. I'm going to put off porn. I'm going to put off lying. I'm going to put off gossiping. I'm going to put on purity. I'm going to put on compassion. I'm going to put on kindness. And why am I going to do that? Because that's who I am. That is my identity. And I'm going to live out who I already am. Amen. Thank you.